Yes, yes, yes. It's Monday. How you doing? I'd like to make love to you on a Monday, because on Mondays, them are love-making days. Yes, I do love making love on a Monday. You're listening to Talk Is Still Cheap on LA's own killradio.org. And I'm about to hijack it because I'm early. I can't believe I keep coming early. That's what she said. My name is Tucker Dale Booth. And I used to live in Southern Illinois. That was fun. Now I reside in the South Bay of Los Angeles, California. Hey guys, how you doing? So, we're going to kick off the other show here. Get rid of Chicken Cheddar or whatever his name is, Chud Chicken. Hey Chicken Chud, it's time for you to go. Let's kick in a little bit of that that Kill Radio freshness right here. Let's see what we got up in the chamber.
Here we go. You want to talk over first?
Yeah, I'll talk over it.
From Pacific Coast.
Oh.
Pacific Coast.
It's a soul, you know what I mean?
That's right.
No doubt about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are locked, loaded, strapped in to killradio.org. I am your fearless captain of this monkey ship, Tucker Dale Booth. You're Pacific coasting with us today here in the city of Los Angeles. It's a Monday. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, guys? Can you feel it? Did you put on your swag buttons before you went outside? Where's your flair? Where's your flair? I really like your flair. Wow, that's a funny bumper sticker on the back of your car, sir. I always enjoy a witty political retort on the back of someone's car. It makes me think, gosh, I'm going to tell that joke as soon as I get out to that party I'm going to. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to tell that joke. Oh, we got a live call. See if we can get the phone on in here. Kill Radio.
Hi, this is Sharon, your local Google specialist. We have a front page position available for a business like yours and can guarantee front page placement with unlimited clicks 24 hours a day at a flat rate on Google. Press the 1 key right now to see if you qualify and are interested in receiving calls from customers locally searching for your...
All right, I'm gonna press it. What do you got, Siri? What do you got? Kill Radio needs a job. Tucker needs a job. The whole fucking planet needs a job right now. So I just hit one and now nothing's happening. Huh. I wonder if... Oh, hey, Eddie. This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing splendiferous. How you doing?
Oh, right. Here you. Thank you for asking,
man. Yeah. No Monday? No case of the Mondays for you today?
What was that, Tom?
I said no case of the Mondays for you today, Eddie.
Not yet, Tom. Not yet.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah,
hey,
Tom, are you a business owner?
I am, and for full transparency's sake, sir, we are actually broadcasting live on internet radio, so if that's something that you're not cool with, we can take you off the live feed.
Sorry about that. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I was saying that for transparency's sake, I do have a job. I am working here at our internet radio station, and you are actually live on air, sir. There was a phone call that came in. We usually put our listeners on air,
it was the recording, and I got a little bit adventurous and just went along with it, and now here we are. So tell me a little bit about your biz, man. We got a few minutes. The funny part of is that the name of my radio show is Tucker Booth Needs a Job. Tucker's a friend of mine. He's my alter ego friend.
Just around the same page, Tom. Was fresh, you guys are looking up a number right now on Google. You guys are showing up at Hill off of Los Angeles, California.
That's correct. We are down here in Los Angeles, California, in the ethnic part of Hollywood, as they like to say.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Tom. How long have you guys been in business for, man?
Kill Radio has been around for about 11 years. It used to be called KPBJ, K Peanut Butter Jelly. It was a pirate radio station originally out of Silver Lake, and now it's a legit radio station out of Hollywood, Koreatown area. We specialize in the best of any type of talk and music that doesn't make it on commercial radio. And we intentionally bring on a whole circus of very eclectic and, I would say, a little nutsy DJs that like to talk and be creative and play very, very outside-the-box music. Yeah. If you're ever surfing on line and you want to check it out, it's at killradio.org. And it streams live, so you know you can stream it even from like an iPhone or an iPad or Pod or desktop or anything. It's very, very user friendly in that way. We got a lot of crazy shows on. What type of music do you dig, man? What are you into? Say that again. Oh, I was saying, what kind of music do you dig, man? What kind of music do you like?
Oh, man, I'm all about reggae. I'm all about, you know, that type of music. Reggae, old school.
We actually have some reggae DJs. Some reggae DJs on here. We got some people that do kind of the more deep rootsy stuff, like the dance hall and the dub and stuff. We got a really good hip hop radio show on Saturday nights from 8 to midnight LA time if you're into any of the old school or kind of underground hip hop.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
We've got crazy people that play old music, you know. It's cool.
Definitely. Let me ask you this, Tom. Would you guys be interested in having your guys' website or your guys' business, everything placed on the front page of Google?
Well, you know, I think so. I used to actually work in web optimization as an assistant to someone who did that for a while. What's the name of your company, or who are you guys representing?
The company that I work for, Tom, is called Lioness Local. With our service does do for you guys, say I'm going to give you a pretty good example. Say you go home tonight and you order pizza. You go onto your favorite search engine and you type in the word pizza, which is known as keyword, right? So the search engine now knows your computer's address and exactly where you're searching from. So it's going to pull up hundreds of pizza places in your local area. Then it's going to list the top 7 businesses on the front page. And that's where we're actually going to put you. We're going to put you on the top 7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we do have a performance guarantee that's going to say that if you do not see yourself on the front page, like I said, we're not going to charge you guys one bit. We're going to work for free until you do in fact see yourself on the front page of Google Maps, the top 7 on the local section and organic. And the way that works, Tom, is we're going to give you the top 10 most popular keywords and phrases in your area that pertain to your business. In this case, you know, radio, anything having to do with that sense. So anytime anybody's looking within a 50-mile radius of your type of service, you're going to show up on the first page of Google on the top 7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with unlimited clicks. Guaranteed. I mean, that's something that we guarantee. Is, you know, like I said, you don't have to pay if you don't see yourself.
Well, that's right on. Now, once again, what was the name of the company that you're repping?
My company is called YMF Local.
YMF Local.
That's for your marketing solution.
YMS Local. All right, well, Tom, I'm Tom. I just called you Tom. I just wanted to say I don't make the business decisions here at Kill Radio because we work unilaterally with our membership. So no one person makes the business decisions. But you have now just been recorded talking about this on the podcast that we're doing currently. So I can put it out there to the membership to take a listen to the podcast that I'm doing. And then they can discuss it on their email roll where they usually do their voting and discussing, because everything has to go to vote. So I will do my best to let them know that you've been in touch. And I will absolutely add this to my log when I get done, that you were part of the show and that people should check it out so that we can discuss it further, man. Any information about where to get a hold of you?
Yeah, definitely. My direct line is going to be 888-770-3950. And my extension is 221. And once again, my name is Eddie.
All right.
We are YMS Local.
Well, all right, Eddie. I appreciate you taking the time. I actually know a little bit about web optimization, and I think it's something that most independent businesses like our radio station could benefit from. So I appreciate you taking the time, bud. We shall hopefully be back in touch with you soon.
Okay. And about when do you think we can get back in touch to talk more about this, huh?
I would say
set up an account, see where we can go from.
I would say, like I said, because I'm not the main decision maker, the best answer I would give you is probably get back in touch in a couple weeks. I'm sure everyone will have discussed it by then. And
okay.
You know, we've got your info too, so if we want to get in touch with you sooner, I imagine the original gangsters over here probably will get in touch with you.
Right, definitely. Okay, no problem, man. No problem, Tom. If I may ask, who is going to be best to get in contact with the decision maker? What's his name, if I may ask?
I would say the best one to be in contact with is Mass. This is his DJ name.
Yeah.
Mass.
Okay.
Confusion. K-O-N. Fusion. And his real name is Chuck. His real name is Chuck. That's what we call him. So Chuck, aka Mass Confusion. But yeah, if you say, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of Mass Confusion, they'll know who you're talking about.
Right. Okay. Cool. Definitely.
All right, Eddie.
And like I said, is there a better number I can reach him at, or is this the best number?
I still think this is the best one. You know, I think his other number he was using for a while was 1-800 Anal Boy. No, I'm just kidding, man.
Okay,
this is the best one.
Yeah,
this is the best one.
So then we'll go ahead and give him a call back in a couple weeks, man. See where we can go from there.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Well, thank you for your time, Eddie.
All right, brother. No problem, man. Have a wonderful day, man.
Keep on optimizing. All right, peace.
All right, then, brother. Take it easy.
Well, there you go. Web optimization opportunities. And all we have to do is pay money. And those opportunities are ours. That's a pretty awesome thing, ain't it? If you're interested who this great music is that's on in the background right now, we are listening to DJ Earl E., who is now one of our new Kill Radio family DJs. This is off of his album, Wax Onomatopoeia. And if you can spell onomatopoeia or say onomatopoeia 5 times very fast without faltering, I would be most impressed. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But, oh, they have a new show that's now on Tuesday nights with DJ Earl E as one of their main DJs and MCs. It's called Unseen Legion Radio, right here on Kill Radio, every Tuesday now from 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific Standard Time. You should check it out. And I don't mean should. I mean, if you don't, We're going to come over to your house and steal your sister's My Little Ponies. I'm not kidding. That's going to make her cry. She'll probably need extra attention that day. I doubt you'll even get to watch your shows that night on TV. You're probably going to be watching Dora or some shit. And I want to tell you, once Dora tells you to say back, back for like the 17th time, you're going to wish that you had heeded my words and that you had tuned in to the Unseen Legion Radio right here on killradio.org Tuesdays, 9 p.m. to midnight. Listening for DJ Earl E. and his gentle musical stylings. I know they have lots of great special guests on there too. I know you're going to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, those My Little Ponies are getting beheaded. You're waking up next to some horses' heads, and they're going to be My Little Pony heads, dude. That's pretty freaky. Well, you know, plus your whole room's going to smell like that strawberry scent that those My Little Ponies emit. And that's also very freaky because you're probably not an underage girl anymore. I was an underage girl for quite a few years. At some point, I realized that my penis distinguished me from any other of the underage girls that I knew. But that doesn't mean that I have any sort of neuroses or, you know, issues around underage girls, except that I know full well that society wants all of us to have sex with underage girls. Just look at TV. Look at American Apparel, folks. Look at Calvin Klein. Do you have any shame? Do you have any shame? These girls look like they're 12, bro. I'm sorry. That's not sexy time age to me. You know, maybe when they're like 42. We're going to start debating that. Anyways, I'm waiting on my good buddy, not so shy John. He's not my good buddy, my good buddy. He is my good buddy, not so shy John. He is on his way. Should be in here any minute. We have a great show lined up for you today. I know my buddy Matt Tyvert Hayward over there in the United Kingdom is probably either listening or tuning in very soon. To all my blokes over there in the UK, we are so very appreciative to have you tuning in. Jane, his beloved, if you are listening, if you guys are having another marathon phone chat while simultaneously tuning in to Tucker Booth Needs a Job, we appreciate that and we love you. To Matt's kids, Scott and Amy. I know you think it's crazy that I mentioned you on the radio, but, you know, it's not every day that a bunch of, you know, scrubby motherfuckers in L.A. have some cool English folks that have seriously stuck their necks out for us over there. And I'm really appreciative for it. I will never forget the fact that you guys stumped pretty damn hard for me and helped me make that Chevy Music Showcase St. Louis YouTube video series go viral all over the world. If you guys haven't checked those out yet, get on YouTube and go to Chevy Music Showcase St. Louis Tucker Booth, and you can see the three videos I have on there. I have two episodes and then also a presidential medley music video that are all worth checking out, and I think you'll appreciate them as much as I have. They were in UK, they were in Africa, they were in France, they were in Spain, they were in Australia and New Zealand. And that wasn't all you, Tyvert, but you definitely helped over 1,000 people in Britain see those videos, man. You did that by yourself. Last week, we were doing a bunch of old 90s flavor, getting back into the 90s flavorness of it all. And Tyvert started texting with me, which you are also welcome to do here on Facebook and Twitter. You can check us out on there. I am at Tucker Dale Booth, Redondo Beach, California. Don't text, but inbox me if you'd like to either have dialogue. You can call in here to the studio, 213-252-0998. Other web optimizers, man, we already just had Eddie call in, and he was so on point. I just don't think we need any more web optimization pitches today. But if you want to just chill and listen and talk Amy, if you want to make a long-distance phone call on your dad's credit card and rack up some big overseas minutes, call in. You're welcome to. If you don't want to do that, then just, you know, inbox me here on Facebook, because if you text chat, it makes noises that get on the podcast, and that makes the Kill Radio staff beat me with a cat of nine tails for my infractions. So inbox me, or put a post up on my homepage, and I will read your comments on air, respond to your comments on air, probably taunt you for your comments on air. But you can definitely stay in touch with us that way. I'm seeing it blowing up. Scott Young Dot, I saw you blow it up, dude. Amy, I saw you blow it up, girl. I saw your dad blow it up, too. But I was getting to, we were doing 90s week last week, or at least one 90s week, but I did about a solid hour of some of my, you know, more favorite 90s songs from the alternative and indie world. And Tyvert and I got talking online about Beck. And for those of you who are unaware of Beck, you should just go Wikipedia and YouTube and Groove Shark Beck right now. And I know you've heard, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? That's why we're not going to play it today. But I've got quite a bit of Beck lined up. Oh, he's saying, bless you, sir. Everyone's in the house in England. You guys, you got a lot of Beck coming your way today. And Tyvert, since you are already communicating online, I know you said Sissy Neck was one of your favorite Beck joints from off of Odelay. What was the other one? Was it Ready Made? I can't remember the second one. All I could remember you saying was you really like Sissy Neck, which I do as well. But if you can get that information to me via the internet, I'll make sure to play your favorite cuts. And if you have more that you'd like to recommend from any of Beck's vast discography, just go ahead and hit me up, because I have a feeling this is going to be 2 hours of some Beck loving today. And we're just going to get nasty with it. And just, you know, if you don't like Beck, if you're not a Scientologist, if you don't pray to Lord Xenu, well, this one might not be for you, fella. All right? Because we like some Xenu praying mofos around here. Okay? You know, Danny Masterson, Hyde from the 70s Show, Scientologist. Yeah. You wonder why. You know? Tom Cruise, Scientologist. His ex-wife, not a Scientologist. That's why he had to kick that twat to the curb. Get out of here with your Roman Catholic horseshit. We don't do that anymore. Pope stepped down. Game over. Cha-ching. Oh, yeah. We're not supposed to talk about religion on here, so let me say something very a-religious. Don't go to church. Just stay home and be cool, man. It's way better than going and praying to a pantheistic fairy tale, man. I know about the Celtic traditions of naming days after the sun. I know. You can't fool me. Love isn't cooler than Celtic pride. Well, unless you're from England, because I think you guys actually were the original Celtics. You and the Irish, right? Well, now I sound like a total numbass. I might as well just go ahead and start getting it ready to crank in here. Once again, you've been tuned in to DJ Earl E, and that's Earl dash E. And I think you might really enjoy it more if you listen to the Unseen Legion Radio Tuesday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific Standard Time. We'll go ahead and kick off a little first set of Beck. We'll be back shortly. Hopefully Not So Shy John will be here by then. We can talk a little bit about some crazy, crazy stuff going on in L.A. right now with the LAPD. I think you might be interested. It's been national news. You might have even heard about it on television. Until then, here's some Beck. I hope you like my selections, because I like them. Oh, don't do me like that, baby, baby, baby. Well, it appears as if we might be waiting on them for a few. gosh, this is why I need my sound man. Every once in a while, you know, things just always go off the rails, and you can't always account for TDB to know how to keep things, you know, in line. But I guess we can jump right into the story. We'll kick in a little more of that early. We can jump right into the story. The LAPD has been going bananas, folks. Not like you didn't know that our police department wasn't a little screwball. Recently, this guy, what's his name? Let me grab that paper. So this guy who was formerly employed by the LAPD, his name is... Where are you, front page man? I just don't want to sound dumb and just say this guy. But, former police officer and a U.S. veteran of the Iraq War, the first Iraq War, Desert Storm. His name is Christopher Jordan Dorner, D-O-R-N-E-R. When he was a rookie officer back in 2007, I believe, he accused his training officer, who was training him like Denzel trained Ethan Hawke in Training Day, man. He was training, this training officer was a woman. She was training him, and there was a confrontation with a mentally unstable man at a hotel in San Pedro, California, where he alleged that his training officer kicked this mentally ill man quite a few times, I guess, in the head, more than once, snapped the head back, shoulder blades, that there was quite a bit of violence perpetuated against this homeless man. Now, when this report came to the LAPD, a panel was put together to address it as they are the protocol is to do. And it was very quickly dismissed as not true. The panel found that there was no physical evidence of the homeless man, I'm sorry, the mentally unstable man being attacked. I guess he did technically have somewhere to stay. His father let him stay with him, but he was often staying in the streets, I guess, because of his mental condition. But when he came home, the father said that he noticed redness around the head area and asked him what had happened. And the man said he had been kicked by the lady training police officer. The panel also said that beyond the testimony by the father, the reason why the evidence couldn't be taken as credible was because the man had a mental condition and was fairly incoherent in his answers to other questions. That being said, Mr. Dorner, who was the rookie police officer, affirmed, I guess, a couple weeks after the incident to his superiors in tears that he had seen something very brutal happen that he was wasn't going to be able to be okay about, and that he was uncertain if this training officer of his was already out to get him due to poor reports that she had been writing about his mental state. It appears to many people now in the media, including myself, that at least back then there was a cover-up going on as far as the behavior of this officer. And I can't remember her name, but we should probably go ahead and find it for you so that you can know who she is too. Dorner said, let's see here, we'll read just a teeny bit. Dorner said that this woman pretty much told him as they were writing out the police report to not talk about it, and to make sure that he didn't put in anything about her kicking or hitting the individual. And, let's see. Her name was Teresa Evans. She also used an electric taser weapon on this man. Nothing really was ever done in regard to setting that situation straight. It was just deemed by the panel that the man was unreliable because of his mental state that had been claiming abuse, and that also that Mr. Dorner was lying. They said that he also was unstable, so they were trying to paint both the officer and the one that was claiming violence against him as unstable mentally. Well, now Mr. Dorner has disappeared, but before he did, just a little while ago, and I mean now in modern day, he published a very large and scary manifesto on Facebook vowing that he was going to take vengeance against the lawyers, the police officers, and anyone involved with discrediting him and eventually having him fired and let go from the Los Angeles Police Department. Within the last week, there have been a couple of murders that they are now crediting to Mr. Dorner. One was an engaged couple who were the daughter and soon-to-be son-in-law of Mr. Kwan, one of the lawyers who had defended him. I can't remember his first name. I know the last name is Q-U-A-N, Kwan. His daughter and her fiancé were shot to death. What, boo? Why are you laughing at that? That's really inappropriate to laugh at that. Put it on you. Put it on you. Doo-doo. See, and that's it. We put all this doo-doo on you. But the reason we're saying this is that now the LAPD has shot two women in Torrance within the last couple of days who they suspected were Dorner, but they were not Christopher Dorner. They were two women that were driving in a car that was not anything like the one that he was supposed to be driving in, and that physically did not match his description at all. They were two white women, and Mr. Dorner is a 6 foot, 270 pound African American man. And our new police chief, Mr. Beck, Charlie Beck, says that we should forgive these officers for accidentally killing these two women in Torrance recently, because the police are now under a lot of stress due to Dorner's Facebook manifesto claiming that he's taking vengeance on police. I have to tell you, there have been quite a few incidents in the last few months here in LA where people that were not guilty of anything or that were definitely not violent have been killed. A Latino man running from police because he was an illegal immigrant was shot 7 times in the back about a month and a half ago, folks. This is becoming a very scary trend with our Los Angeles Police Department justice officials, and it's not really a laughing matter. But when my friend Not So Shy John gets here, we're going to try to delve a little deeper into that, see if we can come up with some good answers for ways that maybe the justice system could actually bring adequate justice here in Los Angeles against our police officers, because I have a feeling they may need it more than quite a few of the so-called criminals that they're bringing in as well. If you have any thoughts on this matter, feel free to get in touch with us. Like I said, I'm out there on Facebook, Tucker Dale Booth, Redondo Beach, California. Any thoughts on the matter will be considered and probably represented. If you are someone who believes that law enforcement is unfairly painted as too brutal or too fascist, I'd like to hear your thoughts. If you're someone who thinks that law enforcement needs drastic change, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But I guess my real question is, what do we do? What do we do when we have police officers who, whether accidentally or not, take someone's life, but then don't have to pay the price that you or I would pay if we were to take an innocent life? I don't think that Police Chief Beck's answer of they're under a lot of stress is a good enough reason for two women to have to die in Torrance, California. Especially when they look nothing like the 6 foot, 270 pound black man, Mr. Dorner, who we are looking for in connection with these recent murders. Just a thought. Love to hear yours on the matter. I think we might have the Beck situation fixed, Tyvert. I laid hands on the board. And everything's coming up TDB now. So let's kick this set off. And enjoy. Emmanuel out there in the Bay Area says Christopher Dorner's the new John Rambo. Go get him, Dennehy. Let's get in the Wayback Machine, man. This is like super cool one. I love this one. This is like off some B-side. I think it's off the Loser B-side. It's called Corvette Bummer. Yeah, Corvette Bummer. That's what I said. Bummer. Get a fucking job. It's Monday. Do the Yo Gabba Gabba dance to this one. You know which dance I'm talking about. Get the sillies out. Get them out. Get those fucking sillies out.
All my days I had moldy bread. Robot brains in the flying airplanes. Hollowed out and filled with dust. Rocking like a hurricane under the rug. Bored to the core on a sunken boat. A worn out candle. Ziploc bag, a pelican bone, a perfect
Shout outs to all my Niners fans out there. I guess 5 for 6 ain't so bad.
Come on, motherfucker! Put your clothes on! Come on! You lousy kid! Why'd you call your mommy? Yeah, I'm a fucking drunk, but you're a lousy lowlife who can't do nothing for yourself.
Growing hair like a shag drug on Dancing back is just some shit. Kicking feet, taking truck, driving neighbors downstairs.
I used to have a few of those. One was named Carly Perez Bonwet. She smoked a lot of crack. Anyway, shouts out to my Bay Area peeps up there. Been a minute since I've been up there. I know the Straight Ups. That's a band you should check out online. The Straight Ups. Go check them out. You won't regret it. Now the Carly Perez Bonwet experience, you're going to regret that one.
Sing a backwash song like a frying pan when the fire's gone. Driving my pig while the band's taking pictures in the grass. And my radio smashed, and I like pianos in the evening sun. Dragging my heels till my day is done. Saturday night in the captain's clothes. Tin horns blowing when my jewelry froze. So at the suicide shack, community service, and I'm still the Mac. Shock my finger, spice in my hand. I've been spreading disease all across the land. Beautiful air condition, sitting in the kitchen, wishing I was living like a hitman. Face down in the guarantees. Jaundice heart shows getting busy with me because I get down, I get down, I get down all the way. Of the country westerns, silver foxes looking for romance in the chain smoke Kansas flash dance ass pants. And you got the hot wax residues, you never lose in your razor blade shoes. Stealing pesos out of my brain, hazard signs down the Alamo lanes, radar systems piercing the souls. You never get caught with the wax so rotten. All my days, I got the grizzly words, hijack flavors that I'm flipping like birds. This
who are you?
I'm the enchanting wizard of rhythm.
Why did you come here?
I came here to tell you about the rhythms of the universe.
You're back with the Enchanting Wizard of Rhythm, but we're not done. We're going to do two more in this set. Tyvert, this one's for you, bruh.
I don't need no wheels. I don't need no gasoline. 'Cause
Love you, Tyvert. Love you. Love this song, too. One more, and then we're going to get back to talking. Not So Shy John just called. He's almost here. Shout-outs to all my Bay Area peeps again. We have some Bay Area folks listening today. Wani, Wanathon, Top from Hoth.
Lazy flies all hovering above. The magistrate, he puts on his gloves and he looks to the clouds, all pink and disheveled. There must be some blueprint, some creed of the devil inscribed in our minds. A hideous game vanishes in thin air. The vanity of slaves. Who wants to be there to sweep the debris? To harness dead horses, to ride in the sun. A life of confessions written in the dust. Out in the mangroves, the minor birds cry. In the shadows of sulfur, the trawlers drift by. They're chewing dried meat in a house of disrepute. The dust of opiates and syphilis patients. Ambrosia vacations. Fear has a glare. Traps you like searchlights. Irritants stare. Their souls are fluorescent. The skin of a robot vibrates with pleasure. Matrons and gigolos carouse in the parlor. The hand grenade us, impotent and blind. La 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 la
There you go, kids. Set one of the Beck Experience. Not to be confused with the Carly Perez Bonnet Experience. I love saying names of people that you don't know and just talking about them like we're old friends, you know. I'm kind of a name dropper, but I'm an obscure name dropper. I don't like to drop, you know, like, you know, Brad and Angelina kind of names. Unless it's like Brad Warchowski, my Polish immigrant friend, and Angelina Fochinski, my friend who tried out for the Olympics as a figure skater. Okay, I don't have friends that are named that, but I just, you know, I was rolling with the moment, you know. You know how we do. Uh-oh, Wani's on there saying, right on, laugh out loud, I heard that this time. What, Carly Perez Bonnet Experience? Yeah. Not worth the ticket to go see that show, I will tell you what. You know, maybe if it's like Amy Mann with Sarah Brooks opening. No. Do not. If you hear of a ginger transsexual named Sarah Brooks, just do not go to her show. I am a big believer in the LGBT movement. I believe in gingers. I have a cousin who is a redhead with freckles named Ginger. Believe me, I am a ginger advocate. Sarah Brooks Experience. Ixnay on the RSA. Uxbray. Wani says, not Perez Guardado. No. Hey, Uncle Juan, congratulations. You are a two-time uncle. That's quite wonderful, and I hope that the beautiful Lucia is doing well. For those of you who are unaware of who I'm talking to, Juan is one of the brothers of my old good college friend and groomsman, Jose Guardado. So shouts out to Jose. He's probably not listening. He's probably, you know, carving his nose into a finely shaped point on that proverbial grindstone. But I love it. Oh, and look who else walked through the door. Looking all still clean cut and slightly sweaty. How you doing, John?
Yo, a little out of breath and just as proud to be here. Howdy.
Okay, let's fix these mics. Are you on three still? Talk again there.
I am here. I'm back. I am on the present.
You are registering on the mic, so that's great.
Am I lighting up? It doesn't look like. Oh yeah, there I am. Okay, cool.
Dude, you're lighting up like a dead concert, buddy.
Boing, 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 boing.
You're lighting up. You're lighting up like a switchboard on a radio station where people get pissed off when people say shit about shit.
Make mine Yoka-Cola.
Oh, Juan says he's also barely listening. So I love that. You're barely listening, but just enough to know when we're talking smack about your brother's ex-girlfriends.
I can hear you breathing.
So, John, I know we were talking about Christopher Dorner.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Who is the real life John Rambo, as Juan was calling him. They're calling him
the ambassador, the face of Los Angeles to the world, huh?
And the million dollar man. I forgot to mention that earlier, that the police chief just came out this morning. Chief Beck says there is $1 million reward.
Actually, it's more than $1 million.
They're just
naming that as a round figure, but he said that there's considerably more than that.
People donated. This isn't even something that came from within the police department. Quite a few people that were wealthy kicked down and donated on this
companies
reward.
Companies, too, yeah.
They want this guy bad. I guess I can understand why. He's fairly violent.
I would quote Depresso the Clown, who actually all the way from Colorado wrote, you know, the only thing that they're after him for is killing people while he was off duty.
Yeah. Juan says, that's how we do in Oakland. Yeah, you know, up there, if you're like in SFC, they just take you on the BART over the river and just shoot you and, you know, throw you
over the side?
No, they leave you down at the Warriors basketball stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
That's where they find them, huh?
No, they bury you like right at the three-point line.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, it actually helps, like, because, you know, there's so many bodies stacked up underneath the court, it actually gives them a slight advantage because they can use them kind of, you know, as a ramp to...
Pitcher's mound.
To yeah. kind of run and jump off of for that, you know, half-court shot.
Great, great, yeah.
So, you know, it's not all bad, you know, and it gives Teamsters work, you know. without body what would they do?
Make the indigent productive somehow, huh? It's like they do with the prison system.
So I want to talk again a minute about these ladies that got slain in Torrance, and you hear me rustling the paper because I'm going to actually go to the piece because it's a short...
Slain? What did this happen last night?
Pretty sure.
Oh, my God.
Or if not, we'll read it. I don't want to misread, but this is from the op-ed. The piece is called "Did Beck," which is our police chief, "Weight the Scale?" Question mark by Hector Villagra.
Viagra.
Is it Viagra?
Viagra. Yeah.
Look, I'm white. I speak American. Okay. Right, it's right. Viagra.
Well,
okay?
It's Puerto Vallarta.
Okay. But, okay. So, Hector here. And I'll put on a little Ride to It music. We get a little Earl E back in the mix here.
Oh, good.
So
oh,
we
good.
Can we can vibe.
Yo. All ye that labor and are heavy laden.
There we go.
That's good.
All right, so here we go. Here's your article. Whenever there is an officer-involved shooting, we are reflexively asked to withhold judgment until all the evidence comes out. So it is somewhat disconcerting for LAPD Chief Charlie Beck in providing the first detailed account of the shooting of Margie Carranza and Emma Hernandez in Torrance, to tell the Times in an interview that they were the victims of a, quote, tragic misinterpretation, end quote, by officers working under, quote, incredible tension. We all know the officers made a mistake, or a series of them, as the manhunt for Christopher Jordan Dorner unfolded Thursday, but the question is whether their behavior was excusable or not, and whether additional training or even punishment is warranted for the officers, and whether new or better policies and training are needed for all officers. When Beck says that it's not difficult to imagine how officers were already on edge could make the mistakes these officers did, even if he is not commenting directly on this shooting, he risks suggesting that he has prejudged their behavior as excusable, a suggestion that is particularly troubling for those who live in communities where officer-involved shootings happen regularly. The public has a right to a full and impartial investigation and an accounting of what happened before judgment is rendered.
Like that's going to happen.
That's a basic first principle, and Beck should do nothing to suggest any deviation from it. As Beck acknowledged, the investigation that they will attempt to provide this accounting is still in its early stages. Investigators have yet to collect all the evidence and piece together what happened. The public has yet to be told basic facts, the number of officers involved, the kind of weapons they used, the number of bullets fired, the kind of verbal warnings, if any, provided before they opened fire, and whether the officers remain on active duty. The public has yet to be told more fundamentally how officers could open fire on a vehicle that didn't match the make, color, or license plate of the vehicle driven by Christopher Dorner. We know in general that law enforcement officers face many dangerous and stressful situations in the line of duty. Here, the officers guarding the home of a high-ranking LAPD police official and on the lookout for Dorner faced a stressful situation when told he might be heading their way. But how did this stress so cloud their judgment that they opened fire mistakenly spraying surrounding houses and cars with bullets? And what does this say about the training officers received to handle the duress of being thrust into a potentially life-threatening situation and to still make critical decisions? Before the facts have been gathered and the relative questions answered, Beck must resist the urge to put his thumb on the scale of public opinion. It is natural that he should want to support his officers and department, but his leadership now as a public official is what's most important.
It kind of makes you wonder how they're going to conclude, what they're going to come to a conclusion of, like, as if we don't know, huh?
When it comes to this shooting, he must be focused single-mindedly on promising and delivering a timely and thorough investigation that provides full disclosure and permits public scrutiny and accountability. We are a long way from a department and a chief who would defiantly circle the wagon and deny any and all wrongdoing, but Beck risks damaging those gains by creating the impression that public relations in any way could take precedence over public accountability. The decision to use deadly force is the most critical one that a law enforcement officer will ever make, and the department's investigation into that decision must be treated as the most important the department will ever undertake.
Well, you know, they shot up another guy's truck that same morning and traumatized the crap out of him. He's hurt, but he didn't get killed or, you know, wounded by bullets or anything, but they crashed into him with the cop car, broadsided his truck, and then put a bunch of bullets in his truck, and they're not even bringing that up in this article.
Well, the last thing they say is, any failure in this regard would confirm the worst suspicions of those who remain unconvinced that the department has truly reformed itself. Beck and his predecessor have worked to allay many of the fears and anxieties that Los Angeles citizens experienced about the police department during the terrible decades when the LAPD functioned as a paramilitary force and treated our most vulnerable communities as the enemy.
Oh, you mean they're not now?
Beck has done this by insisting on the unvarnished truth as part of implementing policies he correctly categorizes as constitutional policing. Now, in this moment of heightened scrutiny, is the time to reaffirm this commitment. That's Hector Villagra, Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California. Now, of course, old Hector is probably going to be a little more liberal than even you and me, John. The ACLU folks are seeing, witnessing things that most people don't even want to consider most days.
Well, and that's it. You know, I mean, it is a rights issue, and it's a rights issue for all steps of humanity from the top to the bottom. I mean, you know, it's all fine and good that they're out to protect their own, which is the first thing they're going to do. But looking out for the rights of the people that the police are interacting with at night when it's just the cop on the street and the supposed perp, and how he gets treated is pretty atrocious and remains so coast to coast, nationwide, not just here, in every major city, and probably in a lot of rural areas too.
Well, and if we're not going to start retraining our police in that way, which I don't know if we will or not, I do believe that the under duress policing.
It's not like, you know, what they do is, oh, we'll give them sensitivity training. But you know what they do, too, is they train the sheriffs in the county jail system. So the sheriffs are, for I don't know how long a period of time in their training, in their apprenticeship, go to the county jail system and work with prisoners there. So they really get to work with the underbelly of humanity. And I think they do that, I think, partly to unlearn civil liberties that should be afforded to every human being. And they tend to look down their nose at everybody. Everybody is an intended perp. At least from down here, that's how I see them act. I mean, if you are a respectable looking person and you approach the police with respect and speak to them civilly, then they will generally respond in kind. But heaven forbid you look like that guy they're looking for, you know?
Yep. So I guess what I'd said before you came in and what I kind of had posed as my, you know, challenging question of the day to the populace here is, okay, what are some possible solutions? Almost like we were talking about the Alabama hostage crisis. For this, put yourself in the shoes of, say, not just the police that are currently on the manhunt for the alleged murderer, but put yourself in the shoes of a police officer facing a potentially very violent, scary situation. And according to the reports, these women that got shot because a tip had come in that his vehicle and
was
this
seen in the area
and
was possibly around.
Man who was not just any murderer. He had published a Facebook manifesto saying, "I'm coming to kill police,
cops,
and I'm taking vengeance on you."
So they're scared
for what you've done and why you got me fired.
And he's armed to the teeth. And those ladies were delivering papers, but at 5:30 in the morning, they're driving slowly down the street without headlights on. And they were known to drive that neighborhood with no headlights, but the cops didn't know that. So the vehicle, perhaps approaching them, seemed inordinately suspicious. So that's going to come out, too.
We got Juan on here saying, county jails are bullshit. Wow, we could do like 7 webisodes on county jail bullshit alone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the
Juan,
tales
I know
that
you've
could be
done
told.
It. I know you've done it yourself. I know you've been through the system. I've been through the Twin Towers down here in L.A., but I know. I know how awful they are, and it's hell. That's what a man said to me on the train last night. An older African-American man coming back on the Amtrak last night from Zona, and we'll get into my Zona trip in a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, County Jail, the Twin Towers, is hell. And he didn't say it like flip. He said it like,
straight
I've been
up.
There.
Yeah,
I've been
straight
there.
Up.
You felt his pain. I feel you. We need to clean up the county jails.
All of them.
Juan says, how did you feel when you were in L.A. County Jail, Tucker? Plus, those cops are willing, killing innocent people. Wow. Well, how did I feel? I felt like I was, sadly, more safe around the criminals, the murderers, the rapists, the amoral people inside than I was around the guards and the authority figures. And, of course, not just how ironic for someone intellectual to try and conceive that, but also how willingly they promoted racism, sexism, homophobia, or xenophobia in general, even though it has it clearly stated on the walls of the county jail that we will not promote racism, we will not tolerate homophobia, we will not tolerate disunity of any kind. And then when we get into our cells, in our nonviolent cell block, no less, and the first thing that the guards say to us is, don't you ever fucking talk to the blacks. Don't you ever fucking talk to the Mexicans. Don't you ever fucking talk to the Southsiders. Don't you ever talk to the Asians. You stick to the whites. You stick to them. If we even see you talking to them, you don't even want to know what's going to happen. That's your tour guide through your cell telling you
this. So they were threatening you with your own safety by them. By them.
Right, and all I can think is the people in there weren't stupid enough to think that we all were truly bad people and hated each other.
Or we're out to pick a fight.
And we all managed to bond anyway, even against their wishes. But then I started hearing stories about how as recently as the day before they had come in and raided that particular cell, made them what they call the kind of raid where you have to take off all your bed sheets and everything, and they wanted to see everything in the middle of the room, try and seize contraband. They didn't unearth any sort of really bad contraband that they could find. Nothing, like, super harmful.
Did they find anything?
Not really, but the message was, quit getting along.
Yeah.
In a not-so-subtle way,
keep everybody
they
stirred
were saying,
up
quit
all
getting
the time.
Along because they were seeing too much unity. And that might be too simple, but I dare say that they seemed like a pretty harmonious cell block. And
They didn't want that solidarity either.
One of their African-American delegates in the prison populace, the one that was kind of their pastor that they were coming to for religious advice, said to me very clearly, we all just kind of don't follow that rule on civil disobedience, but it pisses them off, and that's why they took away our TV. That's why you can't make your payphone call right now.
Well, because there were interracial
harmony
discussions going on.
My civil rights were directly affected that day because I couldn't make phone calls because they had cut the phones from the day before after their raid where they didn't unearth anything, and they left the phones and TVs off for almost 16 hours. So I actually saw direct effects from that. Now, Juan's put something else up here. What did Juan say? He says, the other things that are stated on the county jail walls is the blood of the people lost in that mix. And that's a great way to state it in the sense of a lot of people that go into county jail think they're going in there on their way to federal or on their way to,
a larger sentence.
Another
prison.
And
state.
A prison where they have more space, where you have your own cell, where you have a TV in your cell.
And they stick you in a big community
where you
cell.
Have a workout yard outside where you get, at least a couple hours a day of exercise time. You don't get much of any of that in county jail.
Mm-hmm. It's
folks,
just a warehouse.
It's truly one of the worst types of jails I think we could ever be in because it's supposed to just be a processing holding place on the way, but people seriously get lost in there for 10 years. And oftentimes, county will, charge them with new claims, whether real or not. Sometimes people commit crimes when they're inside or sometimes they cross the guards. And they may never get out.
Oh, shit.
County may just keep throwing, more time onto their sentence, military style, where, if you're going to mess with us, we'll just extend your sentence. And there's also a very military-style type of punishment in those jails, too, which is that if one person in the room screws up...
We fuck with everybody.
Everyone gets punished.
Yeah.
Like drill sergeant style, like the whole platoon suffers for the mistake of the weakest or something.
That keeps everybody against each other, too.
It promotes disunity. Well, at least it does to me.
We want you all to color within the lines. And to spank each other if anybody gets out of line when we're not there.
So I guess the interesting part and kind of the sad byproduct, but maybe the one silver lining of this whole issue with our guy Dorner here is that even though he's doing something completely wrong, and not saying that he is the one murdering these people, but it seems fairly apparent
he took
an
axe and split open the dialogue and put a wedge in.
And he's reopened the dialogue about police brutality, so I don't sound like the Yahoo out there talking about it just because they seriously tortured me for 3 days while I was trying to get around a fine that I couldn't afford for a DUI. For a nonviolent, non-moving violation, I got treated like a rapist or a murderer in there. And that's
got
not
thrown
right.
In with, and got thrown in with
right,
them.
Right, in there with them.
Gang members and actual murderers,
and the judge
sure.
looked me right in the eye and said, okay, you can do that, but you're still going to pay us. God, it sounds so gangster. That's the judge in Torrance, California. We're not talking about Compton here.
Yeah, I faced a judge downtown in traffic court that just treated everybody in the room like they were felons. You know, I mean, he made you feel so guilty that you were inclined to just plead guilty because you never wanted to come back there.
Well, I hope we continue to have this dialogue. I'm sure you and I will in shows to come. But people, if you're out there, even if you don't live in L.A., I'm sure in your city, whether you're in London or Alberta, Canada, or St. Louis, Missouri.
Or out in the sticks.
Or Colorado, where Randy is.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, there is surely police work that is going on that needs to be corrected. In the name of the same justice system that they represent.
I am sure that there are millions, thousands and thousands and thousands of civil rights violations that are lodged as complaints against police forces every year.
And
just
I am
thousands.
Grateful to the ACLU that they are willing to stick their necks out. And I know they had come with the FBI in tow and had done an investigation on my very cell block the week before I was there. I was told by the prisoners about it. And I said, were they just investigating brutality claims? And they said, yes, this year there's been an inordinate amount of brutality claims.
It finally got into the media.
That was 2010. But they said also, they were pointing around to me, look up at the walls, black mold in the ceilings. They said, look at the floors. They're disgusting looking. They're like, they're not disgusting. They have staph infections on them. You have to wear your shower shoes everywhere that you go, except on the bed because you'll contaminate it. How crazy is that, folks?
Yeah. Probably a great source of athlete's foot fungus and all manner of other fungi.
You're not given a toothbrush. You're not given toothpaste. You're not given soap. You have to buy these things after a couple of weeks. And, of course, if you don't have the money, that means somebody that you know has to come down and buy them for you, like they're not a human liberty to have soap and a toothbrush.
That's a violation of rights.
And a razor.
That's messed up. That's
I'm not kidding.
Up.
I didn't have soap and a toothbrush in there for the 3 days I was there because I wasn't there long enough.
And they make a profit selling shit to prisoners that they need like that.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh.
We need to be talking about this, folks, and what we really need to be doing is voting about it. We need to be voting about this, and we need to be really lobbying our congresspeople. We need to be lobbying our senators, our president, or even our local city governments and saying it's time for a board meeting, it's time to put this vote back on the table, and it's time for proposals of more than just I'm mad as hell and we're not taking it
anymore. Now, let me throw something else out there, though, from the mad as hell back quadrant, okay? You know, I mean, one of the comments that I hear from very calloused individuals out in the population that go, oh, well, whatever happened to those prisoners in prison, they deserve it. They got themselves in there. And that's not always true either, because people are thrown in jail for nonviolent offenses and for warrants and for things that, you know, they're not criminals or lifetime crooks or anything like that. They're not totally bad people, you know. And those people, they deserve to spend some time in jail just to try it out, just to see what it's like to get all your rights stripped away like that.
I say that to anybody that wants to debate me now and act like a hard ass about you know,
further debase the humanity.
Well,
no,
anybody
no,
that's anybody that says to me, "Oh, well, it's not like those people don't deserve it." And all I keep thinking is, you've put everyone in that jail into the category of those people. So first of all, stop lumping everyone into one category.
Yeah.
I agree that there are some of those people that deserve it, and those people
who
are
violent.
Are violent.
Yeah.
And need to be off the streets.
We need to be protected from them.
And there is heinous violence going on in this country and in the world. We know all about it. We don't need to rehash that.
And dishonesty of all kinds.
But anything less than that becomes pretty much a relative debate to me as far as how much time they need to spend in there versus how much time that they need to spend bettering themselves in some sort of way that society could appreciate.
Well, and this whole concept of making a profit off of prisoners is bad. It's not right. It's a huge violation of human rights for the sake of a corporate entity. The corporate entity that has now privatized the prison system and is making a lot of profit, taking jobs away from you and me who are walking around on the street, free men can't find a job. They've got those prisoners working, and they're manufacturing a lot of goods for this country, but it's only to the benefit of that corporation and not even to the benefit of the prisoners.
I agree. I have to say shouts out once again to London. We have Jane, Tyvert's beloved Jane, Jane McAdam. Shout out to you. You are now officially tuned in.
A girl in the audience.
McAdam Sweat, McAdam Beard, McBeard. Thank you for tuning in. I got to say shout outs to Not-So-Shy John for getting on his bike and going quite a long distance with not that much time just
in
to help us out.
Windy.
And now we're doing much better here. I think we're going to get into set two of the Beck set. Me and John are going to spend a little time just doing some deep breathing.
Got here just in time.
You guys enjoy the set. This one's pretty much all dedicated to Tyvert and the Tyvert folks. Enjoy.